Talking about stepping into life this month. And stepping into life, as I said last week, acknowledges the fact that Jesus has already given us new life. We celebrated it at Easter. We've talked about it at length in what he did on the cross for us. And then he confirmed it by rising again from the grave. He has given us new life in his death by bringing forgiveness for our sins and giving us a chance to be right with God when we choose to follow him and receive what he has done for us. So we have been given that new life. We are new life people as followers of Jesus Christ. But have you ever felt like your life doesn't feel that new? Like in some ways you kind of just are still doing the same old habits. And you're falling into some of the same patterns of life that maybe were a reality before you came to know Jesus. And you know it's stuff that shouldn't be a part of your life. But you're still trapped there. You're still stuck there. Well, this whole idea of stepping into life is to choose on our part to step into the life that Jesus has given us. And to do that through spiritual practices, to just open our life wide to whatever he would want to do in us. That's what this whole series is about. So last week we talked about stepping into life through getting into Jesus' word, like getting into God's word, which is the Bible. Getting into this book and letting this book get into us so that we will find him in here and experience a greater sense of life, being transformed by being in the word of God. Now today we're going to take a little different tack, and this may be nothing that you have never heard before. Double negatives are always fun. You may have heard this before. This may not be new to you. Let's just say that. It may not be new to you. This may not be all that particularly, wow, I never heard or thought of that before. But sometimes we need a reminder of the things we already should know or do know, because I don't know about you, but life happens and some of this stuff falls to the side. So today what we're talking about is stepping into life through prayer. Now, recently, I was struck by a comment I read on Facebook, and it was going through all that we went through last month, and we appreciated so much knowing that our church family was praying with us as we were going through a very difficult time of walking with Tara's dad and the grief and everything that came with that. And it wasn't in the context of that. I was reading somewhere else, and someone commented about how there is power in prayer. And you've probably read that kind of thing, or maybe even said it before. And I'm not trying to put that down, but it got me thinking. Is there? Is there actually power in prayer? Or is there power there because prayer is what actually connects us to the source of power, which is the living God through Jesus Christ? Where is the power? See, prayer is a very valuable and a very good thing, but ultimately I don't think that's the source of the power. Prayer is just what connects us to the living God in whom all power is. He is the Almighty One. So as we get into this idea of prayer, I want to start off with a definition of prayer first, maybe to get us going on that, just to get us thinking about what prayer is before we take it to Scripture and kind of see some pictures from Scripture about prayer. So here's a great definition from Timothy Keller. He says, prayer is a personal, communicative response to the knowledge of God. A personal, communicative response to the knowledge of God, which recognizes a couple of things. First, God reaches out to us first. Prayer comes as a response to what God has done for us, or in us, or reaching out to us. Prayer is not something that we initiate. It's initiated because God has first reached out to us. So it's a response to God. But one of the things it also kind of alludes to and goes to is that the clearer sense we have of who God is, the better and stronger our prayer life can become. Because it's a communication between us and God as we respond to God. So the better we know God, the better we're able to respond to him. He goes on to actually make a further statement about prayer, maybe in a fuller sense, in the Christian sense of what prayer is. So what is prayer then in its fullest sense? Prayer is continuing a conversation that God has started through his word and grace, which eventually becomes a full encounter with him. Prayer is continuing a conversation that God already started. We're just keeping the conversation going. He started it through his grace and through what he did for us. He's shown it to us in his word. He's told us about it. And we're continuing that conversation with him, which eventually will become a full encounter with him. Doesn't that sound exciting? Prayer leads us to a full encounter with the living God. Now, what I wanted to do this morning, just to start off this time in the Word, is give you a picture of what prayer looks like from God's perspective. And this is a visual picture that was given in a vision to John, who was one of the followers, early followers of Jesus, one of the apostles. And John, towards the end of his life, had this incredible vision, and it's all written down called the Book of Revelation. And as part of that vision, he has this picture. He's caught up in the throne room of God, and there's all these things going on. There's all these different creatures and everyone and these elders falling down before God's throne, worshiping him, singing songs. And there's a scene where the lamb comes in looking like he'd been slain, and there was no one who could open this one scroll, and the lamb can. It's all this great celebration. But in the midst of that whole picture, here's just a one-liner that kind of shows up that really, I think, gives us a great picture of what prayers look like in God's economy. When the Lamb had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Each one had a harp, and they were holding golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of God's people. How's that for a picture of what this looks like in the throne room of God when we are here, maybe just crying out for help or mercy or strength or something in desperation even? And those words, those thoughts, those things that we are trying to communicate with God are taken up into his throne room and treasured in golden bowls and presented before the Lamb. I want to start with this picture because I think we need to realize that our prayer, our communication with God, is precious to God. This is not just an experience where, you know, we're yelling out words and they're just hitting the ceiling and bouncing back. These are words that are precious and have value to God. So let's talk a little bit about stepping into life through prayer, through this communication with God, this response to a conversation that God has already started. But just before we get further into the Word, we're going to pause for prayer and ask for God to speak to us today through his word. Because prayer is a two-way conversation. And we'll talk more about that later. So, Father, we come to this time. And, Lord, may all this be, in a way, prayer. Or this is a conversation that we're having that starts in your word. And it's something that you are saying to us and that we respond to you with our words also. So God, I pray that you would speak to us through your word today. That you would open up our eyes to see things that we need to see in the text. That you would open up our ears to actually hear your voice. Whether it's an impression or something that stands out to us from your word or an audible voice that we hear. Whatever it is, may we hear from you today as we open up your word. And then Lord, as we take time afterwards and even during this time in your word to respond, may that be our communication back to you as we carry on this conversation. We thank you for your word. We thank you that you do speak to us. And just pray, Lord, that we will hear your words clearly today. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So we've had a picture of what prayer looks like, in a sense, in the throne room of God. And this incredible image of these bowls of incense, these precious bowls of the prayers of God's people being held up to him. But I want to share with you an encouragement to pray that comes from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. This is a writing that Paul was doing to one of the churches, the churches in Thessalonica. And Paul wrote this letter to them, and this is one of the final encouragements he gives them. He says, "Rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. This is what he wants you to do. and encouragements to pray. There's a couple of things that are significant, I think, that stand out, to me at least, as we read this, about this encouragement and what we're supposed to do as we pray. This is meant to be something that's continual. It's ongoing. This is not something that happens once a week or once a month or only during exam time. Oh, Lord, I didn't study hard enough. Please let me pass this. Come on, if you're students, you know you've prayed it, right? I sure have. It's not just something that's meant to be this one shot in the dark. Nothing else has worked, so we're finally at my end, and now I'm going to throw it out to God just to see if he can do anything with this mess. Because nothing I have done has worked, right? It's not just that. Prayer is meant to be this continual conversation with God. And it's not going to mean that you're walking with your eyes closed and your head bowed all the time, because that'd be a little dangerous, right? If you're walking around town like this the whole time, okay, Lord, just help me. You know, you could walk into, traffic, a pole, person, whatever. Not a good idea. I also don't recommend to close your eyes if you're praying while you're driving. Just a little side note for you there, just not safe. But what does it mean to pray continually? To constantly be aware of God's presence in every circumstance. To be aware that he is there with you in every moment. And to be able to, in those moments, then be able to speak back into that conversation as you're kind of in a space of listening for him as you go about your day. It's something that we can be doing continually, even if it's not, the very kind of focused time of prayer. We can be mindful of God and watching for God in every space and talking with him as we have moments where we can do that. It can be an ongoing conversation. So pray continually. Let this be something that continues on. Don't stop. Don't stop letting this be a regular habit in your life. So pray continually. The other thing that stands out is pray with thanks. Rejoice always. In everything, give thanks. This is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. In every circumstance. It's interesting. Like, end of the day, we usually pray with our boys. And, oftentimes we'll give thanks to God for all the good things from our day. What I've tried to start doing is sometimes also remembering to thank God for the hard things in the day. Because in all things, in all circumstances, good, bad, ugly, things that blew up in our face, things that went incredibly well, in all things, give thanks. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Learn to express thanks to God as part of that experience of prayer. As God does things in your life, as he shows himself to you, as hard things happen, as good things happen, in all things, give him thanks. This is a part of that conversation. God wants this sense of ongoing conversation with us. Now, that's not to say that this is easy. In case you don't, if you haven't been around this church long, you may not know this, but we don't sell easy here. This is not all easy spirituality where everything is good and you get to know Jesus and now your life is all happy, joyous space where nothing ever goes wrong. That's not the case. So if that's what you were expecting when you walked in here this morning, I'm sorry to disappoint you. I don't know if there's another church in town that sells that kind of thing. I don't think so. I think most of them are actually pretty solid, but we don't do that. So this is not easy. And the practice of prayer is not something that just is going to be just a piece of cake. A couple of quotes to share with you this morning from Oswald Chambers. Prayer is an effort of will. This is not something that's just going to happen to you. God may be talking to you an awful lot, but if you don't actually make this an effort of will, chances are you're not going to hear from him and you're not going to be talking back. It is an effort of the will. It actually takes some effort on our part to see this happen. Corrie Ten Boom said this, don't pray when you feel like it. Don't pray just when you feel like it. Have an appointment with God and keep it. An appointment with the Lord, keep it. A man is powerful on his knees. If you only ever pray when you feel like praying, you will hardly ever pray. True of a lot of things in life. If I only ever exercise when I feel like exercising, I'm going to find a whole lot of things I would rather do than exercise. It's an act of the will. It actually takes intentionality to set aside time with the Lord and keep it. Pray continually. Actually invest yourself. Make the choice to spend time with God in prayer. Intentional prayer, as well as the along the way of your day kind of prayer. Both end. One of the things I want to say along with this is, you know what? One of the challenges maybe for you, and I know this is true for many people, is we worry that we don't have the right things to say. Or we don't know how to say it right. Like we don't have, you know, maybe I didn't really grow up with this a lot, and so I don't have all the right phrases and the things that you're supposed to do. And you know, I hear those church people praying, and man, they got all these things that they always say. I don't even know what they mean. And like the pastor's talking, I can't even understand a word he's saying. But listen, it's a conversation. How you say what you're trying to say to God really doesn't matter much. There's a great parable that Jesus told of a Pharisee and a tax collector. And just for context, the tax collectors were kind of the lowest of the low in terms of society, in terms of how they were viewed by the Israelites, God's people. And so you have this person who's sort of the high-ranking religious official and this scum of the earth, okay? And they both spend time in prayer. And the Pharisee's there with all these flowery expressions. Thank you, Lord, that you have not made me, you know, this way and that way. And thank you for all the things you've done for me. And thank you that you've made me like this scumbag tax collector who's praying here beside me. And the tax collector is down on the ground. And he's beating his chest. And he's saying, Lord, forgive me, a sinner. And Jesus asked the question, who do you think went away righteous or forgiven? Is it the one who had the flowery prayers, or was it the one who simply expressed his heart and a man who recognized his own brokenness? God is way more interested in the honesty of your prayer than the words you use to communicate it. So just say however it needs to come out. Just talk to him. It doesn't have to be with some kind of professional theological lingo. I mean, man, in a degree you can learn lots of fancy words. Do they really mean much? No. Can shorten up an academic conversation because they're technical terms and you can understand what they mean. But other than that, what value do they have? Who cares? In God's economy, I think he'd rather just have an honest conversation with you than he would have you trying to memorize and learn all the right words and phrases. Remember, it's a conversation with him. So, if we were to ask the question, well then, how should we actually pray? Like, what does this look like to pray? If we're going to take an intentional time with God, what should it look like to pray? And maybe we should do the same thing as the disciples asked and just say, hey, Jesus, how would you like us then to pray? Because they asked him that question, and he gave him an answer. And we usually just call it the Lord's Prayer, but this was Jesus' answer to the question, how should we pray? This is what Jesus said to them. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And I'm going to pause there for just a second. Here's some things that can be a part of your prayer. And if you want, you can actually pray this prayer. If you want to understand some of the things from this prayer, here's a few things from it. This prayer starts by declaring God is God. I am not. Our Father in heaven, hallowed or holy be your name. You are God, and I recognize that I am not. And I'm not going to try and flip our places so I can put myself in authority over you and tell you exactly what I should be doing with my life. I recognize that you are the one who is in charge. You are all powerful. You are almighty. You're the one who created everything. You are God. I am not. Let's get our roles straight right off the top. And in this first part, too, the other thing that happens is, you know, he starts off with acknowledging God as God, but then he also invites God's reign. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It invites God to act here and now, to make his way of doing things the way that things happen in our life. We talk about it being bringing God's kingdom or bringing God's reign here on earth. Your kingdom come. Let your will be done on earth even as it is in heaven. Let it be your way of things happening. Let it be your justice going forth into the injustice in our world. Let it be your way of treating people and honoring people for their humanity going forth instead of the way that we will tear each other down and rip each other apart and have prejudices and all sorts of other garbage. Let it be your way that things happen here on earth. You are God, I am not. Let it be your reign, your kingdom that comes. Let it be your kingdom that comes into our lost world so they would actually know the saving, loving power of Jesus Christ. And even if you want to take it a step further, it kind of echoes a little bit the prayer of the church through history, really, since Jesus was here, which was the prayer, Maranatha is the word, but come, Lord Jesus. Even so, come, Lord Jesus, because the sooner you come, the sooner all this garbage is figured out and everything's made right. So come, Lord Jesus, your kingdom come. Make things right again on earth, because when we look around, we see a mess. So declares God to be God and asks him to come and reign here on earth. Then we get into the next part of the prayer. Give us today our daily bread. We're just asking for provision of daily needs and really acknowledging that our daily needs does come from God. Give us today our daily bread. Give us what we need for this day. We could spend a bunch of time there, but we're going to move on. Forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. Or if you like, forgive us our trespasses as we've also forgive those who trespass against us. Or if you like, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. It invites God's forgiveness into the dark places of our life. Forgive us for the stuff that we have messed up, recognizing that we have messed up. You all have messed up and are in need of the forgiveness of God, and so have I. You may not like that very much. You may not like hearing that very much. I know we don't like hearing that we are messed up and we have messed up, but if you spend enough time with yourself and actually are honest with yourself, you'll know it to be true. But forgive us, Lord, our sins. Forgive us our debts. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who have done that to us. It's easy to kind of slide by that last phrase, isn't it? Lord, forgive me for my sins. And what was the next part? Oh, yeah, and lead us not to temptation. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who have sinned against us or our debtors. There's another number of places where Jesus kind of talks about this reality, but if we're not willing to forgive others, we shouldn't be expecting God to forgive us. That may sound harsh, but if you want to read some of the parables Jesus told, I don't know how you come to a different conclusion. If we're asking for God's forgiveness, we need to be prepared to forgive those who have sinned against us. So, in prayer, we ask for God's forgiveness, even as we acknowledge our choice to forgive others. And finally, we ask for help in the battle. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. We recognize that there is one who is out to get us, one who is out to attack us, destroy us. Lord, give us help. We need your help. Paul talked about being clothed with the full armor of God so that on the day of temptation, you would be able to stand and not be blown over by the enemy who would come against you, the principalities and powers of this world, the spiritual forces of this world. We are asking for God to help protect us and be with us in the battle so that we will be able to stand and not fall into those old patterns, those old ways of life, the sinfulness that would want to tempt us and draw us back in. We're asking for help in the battle. So, in this simple, short prayer, we declare God to be God. We invite God's reign. We ask him for his daily provision of our needs. We ask him for his forgiveness, even as we're willing to forgive others, and we ask him to help us in the battle that we're facing. Inviting him to be a part of our life. You see how that can help us step into more fully the life that God has for you? To experience freedom from some of those sins that keep pulling you back down again and again and again and again, as he stands with you and helps you to stay strong in the midst of temptation. How it helps you step into life as you acknowledge the fact that he is the one who's providing everything you need daily. To invite you into experiencing the fullness of life as he forgives you and takes off the chains that have bound you in so many ways and lets you actually just be free of guilt and shame. As he comes to actually bring his reign and his rule on this earth and in your life, it will change. It will change. So here's my encouragement to you today. It's real simple, and it's not going to be a surprise. I want to encourage you to actually choose to step into life through prayer. Through making a deliberate choice, an act of the will, to set an appointment with God and actually keep it and go to him in prayer. And make prayer an ongoing conversation that you're having with him. To choose to step into life through prayer. If you like, to stretch your prayer life. I've been challenged over this last year to stretch and grow that conversation that I'm having with God. And the experiences that we've gone through over these last 8 months, I've said before, they have taught us to pray. There's a lot, you feel a lot more need for it when you need it than when you don't. When things are just cruising along in life and you have more than what you actually need, you might find it a little harder to actually spend much time in prayer, but when the proverbial crap hits the fan, I cleaned it up a little bit, all right? You desperately want that deep, intimate connection with the living God who can hold you up in that time. And so through this experience, I've been pushed to and stretched in my prayer life, but stretched even to say, you know what, I need to grow it further. And not just lose sight of this when things start to kind of settle down, because now I don't really need this as desperately. So I've been pushed to really consider, how can I grow my prayer life? And so what I want to do is just share some ideas with you today. Things you can practically do to stretch and grow that conversation with God. All right? It may be enough to say, hey, set a time and keep it and actually go talk to him. That might be enough. But if it's not, here's some other ideas of things that maybe could be helpful to you. One of them is go find and read and pray some written prayers. Okay? You may actually also want to take to a habit of writing down your prayers. When you actually slow yourself down enough to start writing out the things that you want to pray to God, it's amazing how it'll start shaping your thoughts and how you'll start thinking about things a little differently. But there's also a great resource in so many ways of other people who have written prayers to God that we can enter into. Now, you may be thinking, okay, that's a little weird. But think about the book of the Bible that has 150 chapters in it. That is a prayer book. Of 150 recorded prayers that the people of God used as a part of their worship. It's a prayer book. And if you read it, you know that's what it is. Because you see everything from, you know, how great is our God, his love endures forever, and going through everything that you can think of that God has done, and after every statement saying his love endures forever. You see that kind of thing. And you also see, oh my God, why have you forsaken me? You see him in the great, joyous, you know, everything's going amazing, woohoo, times in life, and also in the I can't believe it's going this bad kind of times of life. You see both, and really a lot of stuff in between. It is a prayer book, and we're invited to pray those things along with the people who wrote them and along with countless thousands of people who have prayed those through the generations. Spend some time reading and praying back to God the written prayers of the Psalms. But not just the Psalms. You can find other prayers throughout Scripture. We share benedictions at the end of every service, a blessing that is a prayer, really, that comes from some of Paul's writings a lot of times. There are all kinds of different prayers in here that might resonate with where you're at and maybe can better articulate where you're at. So personally, this has been one of those spaces that has been a huge blessing for me lately, because there have been times when I don't even know what to say. You're just in that space of kind of going, I got nothing. And when I can read something that someone else has written and go, okay, that captures what I'm feeling right now. I might not have been able to come up with the words, but now I have a space where I can actually pray those thoughts back to God. Now, I know you may be thinking, and for those who have read this before, the Holy Spirit also prays on our behalf with words that maybe we don't have, and that's absolutely true. But sometimes there can be a great space for us just to find something that someone else has actually written that is you gotta be careful with this, because there's also some wacky stuff out there that's been written, okay? So I'm not saying just go find any prayer you can Google, you know, Google prayer because I'm feeling garbagey today, and then pray anything. Don't do that, okay? But there are some great resources for spaces we can pray written prayers back to God. You can pray the Lord's Prayer. That's praying a written prayer, whether you've memorized it or not. Someone else wrote it. You didn't write it, right? And you're praying that back to God. Along the line of written prayer is something that I've been starting into over the last while, which is fixed hour prayer. And the idea of, at set times of the day, this is like make that appointment with God, right? At set times of the day, stop your day and spend just a few moments in prayer. Stop what you're doing and just spend a little bit of time in prayer. And there's actually a neat resource along that line. And it's going to write down, so fixed hour prayer. A neat resource I've used, which really reaches into a lot of scriptures. It's basically reading a lot of psalms and some hymns, as well as some kind of prayers through like the history of the church. And it's a resource called the Divine Hours. I can't spell today. There, Divine Hours. And it has kind of every day, it has a morning, like from between 6 and 9 a.m., midday between 11 and 2, and then like the Vespers time for prayer, which is between 5 and 8 in the evening. And there's actually a website you can go onto, and you can kind of let it pick your times, or you pick your time zone, it pulls up the thing for that time of the day. But it's a neat space just to pause and read through some different verses from the Psalms and other things just to allow that to be a space of prayer back to God. Reminding ourselves at fixed times in the day that He is God, I am not, and I'm asking Him to be here as part of my life and as part of our world. So maybe that can be a resource to you. Another thing, just to stretch your prayer life, is in the midst of prayer, listen. Stop talking. And listen. Again, you got to be a little cautious with this one. And whatever you're hearing, make sure it actually lines up with what Scripture says. But you can actually listen for the voice of God. Maybe with His word in hand as well, maybe not, but you're there always comparing to what He tells you in His word. But listen, because it is a conversation. All right? Another thing you could do, add some thankfulness to your prayer. Now, you may say, well, you know what? That's the one thing we do okay. You know, I give God thanks for the day. Here's a challenge for you, okay? I did this as part of a retreat a while back. As you're taking time in prayer, spend some time and list out 10 things that you are thankful for, okay? Be specific. 10 specific things that you are thankful for. Then just take a few moments reading over your list, praying them back to God, giving Him thanks for each one of those things. Then take a little pause and write another 10 things that you're thankful for, different than the first list of 10. Okay? And do the same exercise. Pray through those things. Then write yourself a third list of 10 things. See how far you can go. It's amazing how many things we have to actually be thankful for if we stop and force ourselves to think of them. I don't know about you, but too often I'm so just quick to move on to the next thing that I haven't even thought about the last thing or given thanks for it. So add some thankfulness to your prayer life. Here's another one. Pray first. When stuff happens, rather than trying to figure out everything on your own, rather than trying to go through all the steps that we can try and figure out to get there, why not just pause and start with prayer and allow God to direct your steps from there? Rather than trying to fix it all myself first and then be able to go, wow, that kind of came together or really didn't, and now I'm really desperate for prayer, why not start with prayer and allow God to direct the journey from there going forward? And the last thing I just want to say is, and I mean, there's more we could talk about, but pray beyond yourself. And when I say that, I don't mean, you know, praying for great Aunt Ruth's, you know, nasty knee that she is having trouble with. I don't mean that, even though that's great, and you should pray for great Aunt Ruth. But to also enter into prayer for some of the other things in our world that are going on. Not just the things that are going to impact you necessarily, but what about expanding your prayer life to some other spaces? And not just there. I think it's important to be praying for some of the stuff that's more personal too. But asking God for where are some of the spaces that he would like you to pray into. And allowing yourself to go there also, to spend some time in prayer just beyond what just impacts you. You know, one of the things that I'm just starting into now is as a part of wanting to grow my prayer life, because I've been trying to, you know, work in some other spaces in my life and making it more consistent for times of prayer, making it more intentional about making sure it's a conversation with God. But I also want to learn from others too. And so I just recently picked up Keller's book on prayer. That's why there was a couple quotes from it. And I want to spend some time reading and learning again about prayer. Phil Yancey wrote a great book a number of years ago called Prayer. Tim Keller's book is called Prayer. So if you're looking for it, it's not really that hard to find. But there are some great resources out there for just, you know, deepening our walk in prayer, maybe getting us to think of prayer in a way that we haven't before. And I'm not trying to make this complicated or anything like that. That's why we started, and we're going to kind of come back to again at the end here. It's a conversation. It's a conversation that God has started, and you are responding to him in. He started it through what he did in the world, which was recorded for us here. He has started that conversation with all of us. And he invites us to keep the conversation going. So can I encourage you to step more deeply into the life that he has for you by joining him in that conversation? Let me pray for us as we prepare and prayer to go into a time of response, maybe where you can spend some time talking to him or singing these songs back to him as part of your prayer this morning. Father, thank you so much that you did start this conversation with us. Thank you that we didn't have to somehow scramble around to try and figure out how to reach out to you, but you reached out to us first. God, I pray that as we dive deeper into this conversation with you, you would help us more fully experience the life that we have in Jesus Christ. As we understand more of who you are and more of what you desire for us and more of what you've already given to us, may we just live more fully that beautiful life that you've given to us. We just thank you for that and just pray that we will encounter you when we call out to you. In Jesus' name, amen.